Storyworthy Media, the best in story-driven content.
This is Ivor Davis, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Wondery Sunset Studio in West Hollywood, California. Now, I am so glad you guys tuned in today. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, today's story is brought to us from author Ivor Davis, and it's titled, I Was George Harrison's Ghostwriter. Boy, you don't get more specific than that, right? I mean, you don't hear that story every day. And who is not a Beatles fan among us? Am I right? Now, recently, did I tell you this, Sergio? I read my daughter a book about the Beatles. And it's like surreal explaining to her this band. I mean, the book was really good. Don't get me wrong. It like broke it down to who the guys were individually, like their beginnings. It talked about how much they played, you know, like the 10,000 plus hours they put in before they ever hit it big. And then, you know, they talk about all their hits, of course. So we read the book and then we listened to the Beatles albums at the same time. See what I mean? It's all very fitting. I'm such a good mom. It's not even funny, Sergio. I'm such a good mom. But listen, Ivor Davis, he's on the show today, and he has an incredible story. Ivor Davis was on tour with the Beatles, and he had unrestricted access to these guys. I mean, from their hotel suites to concert arenas to their private jet. He played all-night games of Monopoly with John Lennon. I mean, Ivor was there. Okay, before we get to his story, I did want to remind you guys to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy. And why not head over to storyworthypodcast.com before you shop on Amazon? I know I tell you to do this all the time, but I tell you for a reason, because it's simple and it works and I'm worth it. That's what I'm saying. Hey, you guys, don't you agree that the more interested we are in the world, the more interesting we become? I mean, I know the most fascinating people I've met and interviewed are worldly people, and they've traveled, and they've experienced other cultures. Well, the stories of the intercontinental life are like that. They're compelling. They pull you in. The stories make you want to know more about the culture you're hearing about. And what you find is that the more aware you are of other people and cultures, the more you feel at home anywhere your journey leads. It makes sense, right? Well, these stories are so good, we added a special place for part of this Intercontinental Life podcast at the end of this episode. Now, to listen to the full podcast and other stories of the Intercontinental Life, go to iTunes and search Intercontinental Hotel and Resorts. Plus, you can discover more stories and watch the companion videos at life.intercontinental.com/worldliness. Now, I have to tell you, there's this one video that takes you through Beijing like you're riding in a sidecar. And it just took my breath away. It's so beautiful. Again, go to life.intercontinental.com/worldliness to see these amazing videos. And remember, make sure to stay tuned and listen until the end of today's show and get an idea of what it's like to live the intercontinental life. All right, let's get right to Ivor's story. Now, Ivor Davis, like I said, he is a reporter and he's an author whose award-winning book, The Beatles and Me on Tour, is available everywhere. And you guys, Ivor Davis is the real deal, okay? I mean, there have been hundreds and hundreds of books written about the Beatles, but very few have been written from anybody who was actually there, you know, who was actually with them. And this is the first chronicle of that tour told by somebody who was on the inside, Ivor Davis. You can find Ivor over at his website, ivordavisbeatles.com, and on Twitter, at ivordavisbeatles. Without further ado, guys, Ivor Davis.
So here's my story about being George's ghostwriter. I'll keep it down to 2 hours, if that's okay. Now, George had contracted with my newspaper to provide a weekly column, which it announced, the newspaper announced, with a giant breathless headline, A Beatle Writes for the Daily Express. Now, one of my jobs was to make sure that his column would be lively and entertaining, and I was supposed to especially try to capture his voice. It was my first try as a ghostwriter, and frankly, I failed miserably. Now, the idea of putting George on their payroll for the Daily Express was the brainchild of Derek Taylor. Now, Derek, as most of you out there know, was the press agent for the Beatles and a personal assistant to Brian Epstein. Well, Derek said that Brian thought it would be good for George. It would give George kind of an extra interest. And now John and Paul have their songwriting and Ringo is rather new, said Brian Epstein, the manager. Now, Harrison, a 21-year-old, was the youngest and least communicative of the Beatles. Now, my job was to get to know him and worm my way into his skull. Because as conventional wisdom went, his pontifications were expected to be of the utmost importance to pop music. But unlike Paul or John, George wasn't a hell fellow well met. In fact, as I first found him, he was rather grumpy, and he did not take well to strangers, which, along with his deadpan sense of humour, may have explained why he was tagged the Quiet Beatle. One day, my photo editor in London, after surveying a set of photos of George in America, observed, "His face is so frozen. Is he having a stroke or something?" Now, Derek, who was the first ghostwriter for George's column before it was turned over to me, considered George his favourite Beatle. And he introduced George and I on the first day of the tour in San Francisco, just a matter of hours before their first concert. It was not a particularly impressive encounter. George showed little interest in bonding with me, his new ghost, and I quickly realised I might have to exert some gentle pressure on him if I was to squeeze his inner musings, for which he was being handsomely paid. Now, the column, the ghost column, George's column, was to be delivered every Thursday at noon Greenwich Mean Time. And I naively imagined that as the deadline approached, the highly compensated Harrison would come knocking on my door for an intimate tete-a-tete, spewing forth astute opinions, witty asides, and observations. I hadn't reckoned on rocker meantime. The fact that after the insanity of every show, the band would head back to the hotel, order room service, steak, burgers, egg and chips, that's fries. They would down cokes and whiskey, go to bed around 4 in the morning and sleep until mid-afternoon to prepare for the next concert or press conference or trip to the airport. Now, with Greenwich Mean Time anywhere between 4 to 8 hours ahead of us, depending on where we were in the United States, it made my deadline virtually impossible to keep. What's more, in the midst of all the frenzy, Harrison didn't have much to say for himself. So I quickly made an executive decision. I would concoct my own version of what had happened on the tour for the first couple of columns. And indeed, those first stories that I wrote were totally fabricated. I didn't even bother to run them past George, fearful that he would hate them, grab them up, tear them up, never to be seen again. So while each day I would file hard news reports and personal observations, the tour went on and I would churn out embarrassingly trite claptrap in George's name. "It's simply Fab in Frisco," was the forgettable fan mag headline that the editor in London put on George's first column, which carried the byline, "By George Harrison, one of the Beatles," as if he might be mistaken for George Harrison, the Doc Walker from Long Beach or someone like that. And so it went, my mighty pen in George's name grinding out such immortal lines as, "The reception for the Beatles fans put on for us in San Francisco was simply fab." Well, now, or this one, which I also wrote, or they wrote, "Even the cops went wild. 18,000 people at Cal Palace. That's by far the biggest audience that has seen us. It was one of the most thrilling experiences of our lives and one of the most painful. I lost count of the times that jelly beans were showered on us from 4 sides of the gigantic arena." And this is George supposedly talking. "I got hit on the back of the neck, on the face, on the nose, on both hands and on my guitar." Well, it continued along in that rather drab way with another column delivering such meaningless morsels as, "Tomorrow we'll be in Las Vegas. And of course, we've all got a system to break the bank in the gambling saloons." Something had to change between us, and indeed, inevitably, there was a showdown September the 5th after a concert at Chicago. We were cruising at 25,000 feet in the Electrajet heading to Detroit when George came charging down the aisle and stopped at my seat. Without even a civil hello, he said, "I'm told my column is boring. A load of old shite." Well, I couldn't argue the point. But stung by his reprimand, I shot back, "Well, it might be helpful if you bothered to get up in the morning and tell me what was on your mind." He looked a little chastened by my blunt answer. He turned and headed back to his seat. And then things improved. I got together with George on a few trips. He loosened up and the column improved. And in fact, we became quite friendly, talking about other things. So my ghostwriting adventures with George started badly and ended up much better.
Okay, didn't I tell you that was a great story? Am I right? Do you want to go put the Beatles on Spotify? Is that what you want to do? Go ahead. I'll wait. Go to your Pandora. Do what you do. Hopefully you already own the music. By the way, did I mention this? Ivor Davis was also there when Elvis met the Beatles. It was August 27th, 1965. Elvis and the Beatles got together. How about that? He was also there when Bob Dylan got stoned with the Beatles. This guy, Ivor Davis, he's got stories. Okay, you guys, I got to wrap it up right now. I want to thank our storyteller one more time, Ivor Davis. Like I said, you can find Ivor on Twitter at Ivor Davis Beatles. And why not tweet him and let him know how much you loved his story? He would love that. And I would love that, because then you can follow me as well at Storyworthy. And remember to check out storyworthypodcast.com and join my mailing list. And join us next week on Storyworthy for a story by the incredibly talented actress, author, producer, and creator, Iris Barr, talking about the most dramatic whitewater rafting story I have ever heard.
Fico suddenly grabs my head and shoves it into the base of the raft a nanosecond before a protruding boulder would have sliced it right off. Fuck, fuck, fuckity fuck.
You guys, it is truly an unbelievable story. Don't miss Iris Barr next week on Storyworthy. Okay, I want to thank everybody over here at Wondery today, including our sound engineer, Sergio Enriquez. And on behalf of our storyteller, one more time, Ivor Davis. My name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
Okay, you guys, stay tuned, because right now, you're about to take a multi-sensory journey into the intercontinental life, and you'll discover stories that will excite your curiosity, broaden your mind, and take your imagination to places you'd never expect. Live the intercontinental life. Enjoy.